are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, January 27th, and an NBA legend gone. A surreal day for the game of basketball. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. The numbers continue to grow, and I thank you all for that. You must be doing your jobs out there in social media. But an awkward time to do the podcast, a tough time to be give energy and bring joy to you guys like we hope to do here on the podcast on a daily basis, because today, obviously, we're just going to be spending the whole time talking about Kobe Bryant. Some memories from a Detroit sports perspective. I have some thoughts on his career at a personal level, and I know that we all journalists make everything about ourselves all the time, so I apologize in advance for that. But this is kind of the forum that I have, and I think in some ways the fact that it's a little bit of a personal podcast about me sometimes, for whatever reason, it gets a better connection with you guys. So we're going to do that a little bit, if you'll indulge me. And I also have I'll return the favor, and I got some reactions from you guys on Twitter, really kind of hitting all the bases of the story, all the framework of what's being talked about today, as obviously it's the only thing being talked about out there in the sports world and the NBA world for sure. So, you know, we'll get back to Pistons day-to-day stuff as we go forward through the week. Trade deadline, nothing really new or exciting to report there. A couple of losses from the weekend. So going to spare you guys from that talk. And we're going Kobe B and Bryant all day today. But give me a follow on Twitter, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook, yeah, I mean, when something like this happens, this is what we do. We kind of shut everything else down and talk Kobe. I mean, he's obviously, we're a Detroit Pistons-centered podcast, but it's an NBA podcast as well, and we will talk about it from a little bit of a Detroit perspective and my own personal perspective and you guys as well. But, man, it's a story that's bigger than the Pistons. It's a shocking story. It's a sad story. And I know many of you guys are probably like me, and it's been a weird day. You've had a weird feeling doing the things that you normally do. I'll tell you why. I'm even a little bit weirded out more than even usual when something shocking like this happens out in the world to an athlete or a celebrity or a politician or whatever, you know, notable deaths are. But Kobe Bryant dead at 41 years old after a helicopter crash in the Los Angeles area. It's weird to even say that. It's now several hours after we all learned about it in the middle of the afternoon. He was on his way to a travel basketball game for his daughter, and heart-wrenchingly, his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, also died, Gigi, as she's being remembered on social media. All the pictures of them together, obviously her basketball playing and her burgeoning career was something that was very exciting to Kobe as a father, and you could just kind of see their connection in that way. There was other deaths in the helicopter crash. Two parents of another player and their daughter, John Altobelli, the head baseball coach of Orange Coast College. His wife, Carrie, their daughter, Alyssa. So that's the five deceased people that we've heard about in the public. But the police had a press conference earlier noting that there were nine souls as on the flight at the helicopter, according to the manifest. I don't know if that's accurate or inaccurate. It's a little bit strange that here we are. Like I said, I'm taping this at 10:49 right now on Sunday night. You know, this story broke about 2:30 in the afternoon, and for there not to be names out there. I know you want to notify next of kin, of course, I get it. But, man, we're talking about 8 hours, and if people aren't, you know, it's strange to me. It's not a big deal, and I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong. It's just strange. Anyway, so like I said, apparently there are four others who died. As we tape this, we don't know who they are. I would assume that there's like a pilot or two. I don't really know. I've never, this might shock you, but I've never commissioned a helicopter ride myself. But maybe more of the team members of the young girls, unfortunately, could be possible. I don't know. Probably irresponsible to even speculate. But, you know, obviously rest in peace to all the souls that perished in this horrific accident. LeBron, you know, passed him for third place on the scoring list on Saturday night in the first ABC Saturday night game of the season. Just unbelievable how life works out sometimes, sadly, and then sometimes in weird, strange ways, you know, and whatever you want to take from that is whatever you want to take from that. But, you know, Kobe during the game on Saturday night posted on Twitter about keeping the game going, like LeBron is doing. LeBron wore his 24-8, wrote it on his shoes, wrote Mamba for life on his shoes, and not, you know, half a day later, Kobe was gone. And the Pistons released a statement. Arne Tellem, front office member of the Pistons, Kobe's former agent, released a very eloquent statement that I would encourage you guys to read. Shaquille O'Neal shared his condolences, obviously someone who's going to be mentioned in the same breath as Kobe Bryant for the rest of his life as well, and just incredible. And as Pistons fans, obviously, we remember the 2004 NBA Finals, probably the biggest actual moment between Kobe Bryant and Detroit fans. Pistons triumphant in that five-game sweep, as we like to say here in Michigan. But we do remember that they did actually lose game two in overtime on the road when Kobe Bryant hit a typical Kobe Bryant shot and sent that one to overtime, got the win over the Pistons. Then Detroit takes care of business in games 3, 4, and 5. Kobe Bryant, you know, struggled that series. It was kind of the end of the Shaq and Kobe era. The Pistons broke it up. Obviously, a lot of the wounds were self-inflicted as well, with those guys that couldn't coexist for as long as they maybe should have, looking back on their careers. But both would go on to win titles apart from each other. Kobe twice, bringing his total of NBA titles to 5. A great career, 41 years old. I'm sitting here, just turned 37 a couple weeks ago. This stuff kind of hits hard because you knew Kobe being Bryant when he was a high school player and dating and taking Brandy to the prom. And this whole career is something that I've witnessed and watched. You know, you feel like you know the guy almost. And one of the stories that is being talked about more, and we kind of knew this story back when it happened, but Kobe Bryant was almost a Piston. In 2007, Joe Dumars agreed to trade for Kobe Bryant from the Lakers for Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, Amir Johnson, and a first-round pick. But Kobe had a no-trade clause and killed the deal. So Bryant, of course, 2 years later would go on to win his fourth title, and then the year after that, his fifth title over Orlando and Boston, respectively, in those seasons. You know, strangely, I guess, sadly, this is the year coming up that Kobe's eligible for the Basketball Hall of Fame. Obviously, he'll get in there, and that will be a pretty strange scene in Springfield, Massachusetts. It will be surreal to you know, maybe his wife speaks for him, maybe one of his former teammates or something, or daughters, surviving daughters, which is a devastating word to have to say, and that there's one daughter who's not a surviving daughter. You know, surreal also that there were basketball games being tweeted about on Sunday. I don't have a hot take on if they should have canceled it or not. I actually don't think they should have. But that being said, it's still crazy that, you know, normal life in the NBA in a strange way is progressing as it was. Trae Young wears number 8. All the teams are doing the dueling 24 or 8 second violations to start the game to pay tribute to a guy that was these players, Michael Jordan. And pointed out by me that, you know, everyone in the NBA is pretty much younger than me, and mostly significantly so as far as the new stars in the league. So, you know, I watched the end of Michael Jordan's career, most of Michael Jordan's career, but I don't, you know, these guys weren't alive when Michael Jordan was playing, or maybe barely alive when Michael Jordan was playing. So, you know, Kobe was their guy, and that's kind of resonating with some of these players. You know, these young stars aren't one generation removed from Kobe. They're like two or three generations removed from Kobe. So this is their guy. This is a lot of these guys became basketball players because of Kobe Bryant. And we got the Clippers and the Lakers playing at Staples on Tuesday. Couldn't be a more fitting for what should be one of those get by the TV moments. I mean, I couldn't imagine missing that game. I mean, already on Sunday, you know, I'll never forget where I was when I found out that Kobe Bryant died. I was out to lunch with some friends celebrating a 40th birthday of a friend of mine, and here's Kobe, 1 year older than our friend Darren, and he's gone. It's hard to overstate what it's like. You know, it's one of those, like I said, you'll always remember where you were. I mean, I don't want to talk about it in terms of the national catastrophe like 9/11, but maybe Detroit sports fans, I'll always remember that I was on a New York City subway when Gordie Howe, the news of him dying in a summer a few years back now. So just one of those moments, and unbelievable. There was, you know, there's always some darkness in some of this stuff. Erroneous reporting that all of his children had died by an ABC station at some point. That's not true. Rick Fox was presumed dead at some point. He's fine, apparently. Good for you, Rick. But and then, of course, there's the complicated side of Kobe Bryant. I think it's understood. I think the listeners of Lockdown Pistons are smart enough to understand that Kobe Bryant was far from a perfect guy, maybe not even a good guy in some respects. And of course, there was the alleged sexual assault in Colorado. Charges were later dropped, but obviously there was some money exchanged, a civil determination made that Kobe was at least somewhat in the wrong there. Can't do a comprehensive look at the life of Kobe Bryant without mentioning it. I'm not going to dwell on that today, but I'm not going to belittle it as if it's nothing. So, you know, we'll kind of move on from that. Certainly an imperfect guy. A friend of mine at lunch, after we found out, obviously it became the conversation, and he asked, what's the one word that you would use to describe Kobe Bryant? We all came up with a bunch. You know, compelling and complicated are two of them that stick out to me. Bold, audacious, tenacious as well. Focused, disciplined is something. And obviously, you know, the way that he went about his craft, the single-mindedness that he had, are things that I think that we can all take away and try to live. And I've, of course, everyone on cue, and rightfully so, is doing the thing where you talk. Jay Williams had a nice kind of diatribe on ESPN about this, but, you know, hug your loved ones. Don't let those small grudges continue. Family, friends, old beef, whatever it is. Squash that, and I would second that notion here. But I'm going to talk a little bit about what Kobe Bryant meant to me. And again, it's a little self-indulgent. I appreciate you guys having the patience, but I'll return the favor by letting you guys have the last word later on. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, earlier today I threw out a query for you guys to give me your thoughts on the passing of Kobe Bryant, which again, I can't get over how crazy that is to say. We lose people in our lives, and I just feel strange. I feel almost juvenile that it's affecting me so much, but I know from reading Twitter and seeing a lot of you guys out there that I'm not alone in this. If you would have told me at the beginning of the day, like, what celebrity death would be something that would be very impactful, and we found it, and it was kind of a surprise, obviously a shock that this would even happen, but that Kobe's eliciting such a response. And I think, been thinking about it a little bit, and why is that? What is it about Kobe Bryant that, and it's just, I think it's the formative years, right? It's the time of life that he was around for. Just kind of an aside, the movie that we made about Imani Bates from Ypsilanti Lincoln called Ipsy's Imani, which you should definitely check out on Vimeo. He mentioned that Kobe Bryant was his idol. And this is a guy who's turning 16 on Tuesday, tomorrow. So he didn't see most of his career. He wouldn't remember peak Kobe Bryant for sure. Obviously, there's highlights and YouTube and all that stuff. But it's crazy that, you know, Kobe Bryant reached that guy. And that's just a nice thing to have that legacy carry on, particularly with a younger set, even younger than the NBA stars that all revere Kobe Bryant as well. Full disclosure, I am a Kobe guy. I was going to say was, but that seems too sad to say. I love Kobe Bryant. I'm not sure what that says about me, because I the basketball ideals that he I would like teams to perform under are certainly not Kobe Bryant-esque. He's a ball hog. He's a little bit of a selfish player when he played, and that's not how I would design the perfect NBA player, but the tenacity and all that, I loved it. I loved watching him play. I was entertained by him. I was kind of one of the only Lakers fans in Southeast Michigan, in Royal Oak, when I was growing up. I was made fun of by friends about it. And I think it was because I was a Shaq guy early, you know, kind of a dead time for the Pistons back then. So I kind of jumped on the Orlando Magic Shaq bandwagon with the breaking of the backboards and all that stuff. And then when he went over to the Lakers, I liked Kobe as well. I liked those teams a lot. I rooted for them against Portland and Sacramento and San Antonio. They were my other team. Pistons were always my favorite team. There was no doubt about that. In 2004, there was no questioning my allegiance to the Pistons. So don't get it twisted. But, man, I was just always rooting for Kobe, always hoping that they would make those comebacks in some of those amazing playoff performances that they had. I thought, you know, his last game in 2016, I thought that was a damn work of art. It was unbelievable. It was hilarious. It was poignant. He scored 60 points. The 81-point game was another night that maybe you guys remember where you were. It was a Sunday night. I was putting together the sports section, had to kind of rip up the front page a little bit and add that in there, putting together the paper for the Times Herald and Port Huron that night. It would have been early 05, I believe, or no, early 06, because I was kind of newly employee there, early 06, I believe, because the Seahawks and the Steelers had both won their conference championship games to set up their meeting for the Super Bowl in Detroit. So that was the Sunday of the conference championships games. And I was about to get dumped by my college girlfriend later that month. So good times for that month there. And just the extra poignancy that I'm feeling about this, it could come from something that happened to me last week. I had not mentioned this on the podcast because I didn't really, you know, who cares? But there's just like a little bit of poignancy involved in it now. But I got into a fairly significant car accident on Wednesday. I got back from Oregon on Tuesday, and I was covering the Pistons game on Wednesday night for the Associated Press. So I headed up to the game and was driving from my parents' house in Royal Oak, where I was hanging out in the afternoon, and was headed down to the Little Caesars Arena, parking at my apartment, and I was going to walk up to the game because I live a couple blocks away from Little Caesars Arena. Well, anyway, long story short, was not my fault. Someone cut someone off, and I ended up getting just hammered the back of my car in the left rear part of the car and hit into the wall. Luckily I was on in the right lane, a half a mile away from the exit that I was going to get off. So I was pushed to the right off of the road and onto the shoulder into the wall. And then another car hits me as I kind of tried to straighten out, and I was back into the lane. But then luckily they pushed me again off to the shoulder, so I was away from all the other cars that were speeding up I-75. And, yeah, good times all around. But the side airbags went off, and as bad as everything looked, cars totaled. I don't know what I'm going to do about a car. But anyway, we'll figure that out as we go along. But, you know, I walked away. I was totally fine. I missed Dwayne Casey's pregame press conference that day, but I got there plenty of time for the game, did my job, was not hurt, a stiff neck for a little while that night, a little bit of a headache. So I figured, you know, tomorrow, Thursday morning, I'm going to wake up in hell from this pain. And no, I was totally fine. I was blessed. I was lucky. All that great stuff. We'll figure out the car situation, whatever. No big deal. But yeah, there were 3 to 5 seconds during this ordeal when I realized what was happening that I thought I was dead. I thought I was going to die. This is it. I'm going to die on I-75 in a car accident. And, you know, you're kind of hurry up and get the car towed. You get to the game. You get under deadline. It's been a busy few days kind of getting back from vacation. And this weekend kind of provided the first opportunities for me to reflect on something like that, deal with it mentally, emotionally. And then to have Kobe Bryant, one of my childhood, you know, teenage heroes, die like this. It's a strange, surreal situation. And I know if you're a basketball head like I am, a hoops head, you're probably in a little bit of that same place. So it's strange. Maybe you're not sad about it or as sad about it. Maybe you are. Maybe you're crying all day today. I don't know. I haven't gotten to that point. But I was, you know, after lunch, I went and saw my niece and my brother up in Rochester, and then kind of took the – I didn't feel like driving on the freeway. I really didn't. So I took the long way back to Detroit and was listening to Dennis Fithian on 97.1, just taking calls. And people are just reflecting, and I was thinking about, what am I going to say on the podcast about this? But it just kind of kept back about myself and why, you know, it touches us and why sports does this to us. So to get this news, it's a little bit staggering, obviously, as if I needed more reminders about the fragility of life, very fragile. You know, we got the friends' milestone birthdays and all the holidays and all the stuff that happens. You see the old friends. We had our 20-year reunion of our Kimball basketball championships on Friday night, so we talked about all that stuff, saw all the old coaches and the old players. And it reminded me with Kobe, December 20th, 2009, Very unremarkable day in Detroit sports, but I went and saw Kobe Bryant, I believe for the only time that I ever saw Kobe play live. Went to the game at the Palace of Auburn Hills. This was also week 14 of a Detroit Lions season, of a 2-14 Detroit Lions season. And the Lions went and lost to the pathetic Arizona Cardinals, so we went to that game. I got my tickets for that one from a girlfriend at the time. But in between the time that she gave me the tickets and the actual game, we actually broke up. So are you noticing a pattern here with me? But anyway, I took my buddy Mike instead, and we did the Detroit sports double. We went to Ford Field, and we drove up to the 6 o'clock game at the Palace. Neither of us had seen Kobe Bryant live. And Keith Langlois of Pistons.com tweeted this earlier, that the energy with Kobe Bryant, especially at that time when he was a real force of nature, peak of his powers, still had the athleticism but was also developing the experience and the skills, more electricity than in Michael Jordan. I saw MJ in the 62-win Bulls season when post the comeback in the first full season that he was back with the Bulls. I saw him play at the Palace then. You know, obviously I've seen LeBron play a number of times live. I think Kobe was the most electric that a crowd would ever be in for a visiting player. Keeping in mind, this is a miserable Pistons season, so it's like the NBA heads are like, okay, this is an actual game that we want to go see Kobe. And this was 2010. I would move away from Michigan less than 3 months after that, live outside of the state for about a decade. This is Gordon and Villanueva's first year. John Kuster. Pistons won 27 games that year. Just an unbelievable Sunday evening basketball. Spoiler alert, the Pistons lost. Kobe had 28. A little bit of a disappointing game for him, but still, that was the time that I saw him, and like I said, peak of his powers. They win the championship that year over Boston in 7 games. But I just with Kobe, I thought that his dominance, in unlike some of the other legends of the game that we've seen over the years, it was art to me. He didn't have LeBron James's power. LeBron, it's impressive in a different kind of way. And Michael Jordan's the best player of all time, and LeBron's probably ahead of Kobe already. But it was almost like Kobe Bryant was doing a dance out there, like Michael Jackson. It was just like things we haven't seen before. Everything looked like Michael Jordan. Everything was cool. He was doing the imitation like we all know he was doing. And the footwork is just maybe the best footwork I've ever seen on a basketball court. Like I said, it looked like it was peak choreography out there, getting to his spot. The entertainment level was always a 10. You never knew what the totals were going to be, what kind of night you'd be in for to see him. And it was a joy to watch him play, and I miss watching him play, and I miss that he's gone. It's sad. It's very sad. And, yeah, so I'm going to hand this over to you guys, get into my mentions, and read off some of the tweets that you guys have sent me all day as we kind of talk this out. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But hey, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Pistons is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Detroit Pistons fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Pistons fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses, especially here in Detroit. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from y'all. All right, well, you know, the Pistons lost 2 games this weekend. We're not going to talk about it too much. The Grizzlies on Friday, the Nets in overtime on Saturday. They play tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers back at Little Caesars Arena. The news, I suppose, is that Reggie Jackson is not on the injury report. He set out the second half of a back-to-back on Saturday, but it sounds like he's fine. Derrick Rose is probable with some right knee soreness. 37 minutes in the overtime game on Saturday. Kind of need to take Dwayne Casey's toy away from him at this point, I think, and trade Derrick Rose as soon as possible. Knock on wood, he doesn't get hurt in the interim. Tony Snell questionable for the game as well. But like I said, we'll get into the Pistons some more tomorrow and see if anything happens come trade deadline season. But I threw out a query to you guys for your Kobe Bryant thoughts and memories. Ryan Love, realist Ryan Love, says, Kobe was my guy. When I first got into basketball, my first real hooping shoes were Kobe's. Shooting around the driveway, who else would you want to emulate? if it wasn't Kobe. That's right. It was the he was the next Michael Jordan in terms of the guy to be cool with, or the guy to imitate so that you look cool as well. Just so smooth on the basketball court. Unbelievable talent. Brandon Casto says, "This one hurts bad. Didn't want to believe it when I read the news. Kobe was such an inspiration on and off the court. I carry his Mamba mentality with me in everything I do. All we can do is pray for him and his family and thank him for everything he's done." Thank you, Brandon. Yeah, the Mamba mentality, the Mamba, Black Mamba nickname became a bit of a punchline, and I never, you know, fully got into that part of his persona. But I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter like Brandon who really took it and believed in it and ran with it. I saw one of the Lakers film room is on Twitter. They were talking about how, you know, they had a debilitating illness last year within the hospital, life support, all that good stuff, and used Kobe Bryant as, you know, when things are down, Kobe is who I think of to motivate me and get better and all that. And just, you know, the fandom and the celebrity and the idolization is great, and it's, you know, it's oft, it can be great, and if it's something that motivates you, that's great, and it's just a kind of a heartwarming things to read in terms of that. Detroit Sad Boys on Twitter: "This news reminds me of my own mortality and the mortality of those around me. Events like this help put life into perspective and reminds us all of what's truly important. Tell your loved ones how you feel every chance you get. Take nothing for granted." End quote. I think that's a great tweet there. It's also terrifying to think about something like that happening with your daughter next to you. I know it's an uncomfortable thought to think about those kind of things, but man, for all the, you know, the good that you can take away from bad situations, it's devastating, it's sad, and it's terrifying if you think about, you know, being in that helicopter. So I'll bum you out by saying that. Zach on Twitter: "Total shock and sadness. Kobe inspires me to this day with his work ethic and determination. His career didn't matter about numbers or championships. It was the elite output and resume of a legendary person. RIP to Kobe, his daughter, and the others in the crash." Thank you to Zach for that. Steve Cook, my guy, says, "Sometimes life just sucks, Matt. We make the most of the time we have. Even sadder that his daughter was with him." Hear, hear to that. Jeremy K, J. Kerr 30, says, "He was my favorite villain. Nothing I enjoyed more than watching him lose to the Power Pistons in 2004. But man, by the end of his career, he won me over. I'm an aging hooper, and although I've never known his highs, fighting your body for every inch, I learned from him." And that's true. You know, the Achilles injury, broken foot later in his career as well, battled back. You know, the athleticism was gone, but was an effective player at the end of his career until the final season. But I was shocked when he decided he was going to hang it up. I remember I was in the Virgin Islands at that time, and he said it was like kind of mid-season, and it's like, this will be my last year. Didn't think that would kind of be how it would go down for him. But a little bit of self-awareness, and I think the act of his post-playing career was going well. You know, the Oscar, the production company, and all the stuff he was doing. He was handling post-basketball life maybe better than some of us might have envisioned. Lucius Domitius Ahenbarbus, I'm sorry for brutally butchering your name. "This is probably the worst news I've heard so far this year. To me, he is and always will be the perfect example where hard work can get you if you develop a certain work ethic. Best competitor in the game." That's right. Agree with that. Amen. Amen. So Lucius agreed with all that. The hard work and the dedication are the things that stand out the most. The discipline as well. John Mercado says, "I try not to get worked up over celebrity deaths, but this one has me shaken. An absolute legend and fun to root against as a Pistons fan. My deepest condolences to the family and victims of the family and friends of Kobe, Gigi, and the rest of the victims." Thank you to John for that. Gabby down in Puerto Rico, my guy, says, "The best way I can describe how I felt about Kobe the player is he was the only Lakers star ever that I would have loved to see in a Pistons jersey. To know that he died knowing his daughter shared his fate is just devastating. My heart goes out to the families of all who perished." Thank you for that, Gabby. Mark Carey says, "As a father of daughters myself, I am at once horrified, numb, and also relieved as I consider Kobe's last moments with Gianna unspeakable." Juman echoes Mark's thoughts as well out in Grand Rapids. Thanks, Juman, out in Juman Alexander. Doc Joe Brown suggested that we go out with 8 seconds of silence at the end of the show. And Josh Sims says, "It's so hard to even find the words. the ultimate competitor and great ambassador for the game, one of the greatest. Crushing to hear. Sam finally says, Kobe stood for all that is good about an NBA superstar's work ethic and dedication to his family made him a role model to young players. A true tragedy. R.I.P. Mamba. And hat tip to Joe Brown. We're going to go out with an 8-second moment of silence here before we play the outro music. So do continue listening for these 8 seconds. Do think about Kobe and yourself and what we take from this as we kind of move on, I guess, for lack of a better term. And, you know, thanks you guys for listening. Thanks for indulging a little bit of more of a personal show. You know, it's hard to have the energy and joy that we usually try to bring on this show. And we'll be back with that, I promise. We'll talk Pistons. We'll get into the minutia. We'll talk trade deadline all the rest of the month and into February. February 6th is the deadline, a week from Thursday. So, but yeah, I mean, rest in peace to Kobe Bryant. Hug your loved ones a little tighter these days. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks, everyone, for listening. And rest in peace to Kobe Bean Bryant, a legend in the game of basketball and someone that we will never forget. Thanks, you guys, for listening.